good day. And today is July 28th, 2021. This is episode number 552 of the Apple Context Machine. Still not a palindrome. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief of TMO. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. If you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, you can shoot me a note over at macobserver.com/contextmachine. That'll take you to our Facebook group. On this episode, we are continuing with our multi-part series. By the way, I've got a fourth installment to suggest. But this is part three of our multi-part series on Apple features and products, which means for your entertainment and edification, I've got both Jeff Gamet and John Keat back. And Jeff, I'm starting with John. Hey, John.
How's it going, Brian?
Okay, all right. Quiet, chatterbox. Jeff, how are you?
Apparently, I'm doing better than John because I can speak. So, go me.
Yeah, fair. All fair. So, let me pitch you on my fourth topic for this series. Mm-hmm. Products that we wish Apple would make, which should be separate from the products that we're like bummed that Apple stopped making.
Nice.
You like it?
Yes.
Jeff? I do like it.
All right. Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. Perhaps that'll be the next episode we record. But in the meanwhile, today's episode, this is the third installment, and we are looking at the top and really the most inexplicable. Some of them actually probably make more sense than others. Like, for instance, I don't think anyone's going to like be surprised that Apple got out of the printer business. Do we agree with this? Or is that
shock,
on your
total
list?
Shock.
It's on my list.
It's on your list. All right. Well, so, all right.
Same.
But I think a lot of these products are going to be products, at least some of them are going to be products that we wish that Apple was still making. We just don't understand why they did stop making it. But, and then the first two were like the most important features in iOS and the most important features of macOS. And so, again, third part is products that we don't understand why Apple stopped making. And then the sponsor for this show is HelloFresh. I'm going to tell you how to get some free meals from them later in this particular episode. So with that in mind, who wants to go first?
I'll come out swinging. How's that sound?
Sweet.
Extended Keyboard 2.
Wow, that is clearly highly specific.
Well, you know.
Someone likes battleships on their desk a lot.
Well, they were great keyboards. They're still great keyboards.
And makeshift weapons.
And makeshift weapons. Yep. For a long time, I continued to use one with a Kensington ADB to USB adapter. And eventually I stopped using the keyboard, and I don't even remember why. It would probably still be working fine today.
Well, one of the biggest reasons is because it became a real problem making the ADB connection work over USB. That's surely why you stopped using it.
That must have been it.
I mean, for the longest time, I had Griffin's. What was that called?
Yeah. Griffin made an adapter. But I used the one that Kensington made, which was actually, I thought, a lot more reliable than Griffin's.
I definitely used Griffin's. Was it the iMate?
iMate. Isn't iMate the puck thing that you could do little control, you know, program like what happens when you push it or spin it stuff?
Nope. That was the ADB to USB converter.
All right.
So, yeah. John, did you have a hankering for the extended 2 keyboard?
No, although I was very fond of it at the time, but it was a battleship of a keyboard. I appreciate everyone. It was a well laid out keyboard. Always felt really good. So
it's the mechanism. It's the key mechanism. And I've never really found, ASIO's big giant battleships that come in like very very stylized stylized designs. The one I had was I'll have a link to the show notes in this, but I ended up breaking it. I was playing a game, I think, and I got very angry during the game. It's completely ridiculous, childish as it can be. And I ended up breaking the keyboard that I had from them. But I love that keyboard. It was a great keyboard. Very, very loud. Extremely, extremely loud. It was the retro classic, I think, is the one that I was using.
Nice.
Yeah. Those are the, anyway, the point is very loud, great mechanics, but like the other keyboards that I've tried that have like supposedly been the same mechanism as on the extended two, they never felt right.
No, they don't feel the same.
The ASIO did. The ASIO felt very, very similar. But I was getting complaints when I was on the phone with people with it. And plus, I couldn't possibly be talking to someone else without them knowing that I was multitasking poorly.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting in that I think Apple has been on a constant evolution. And I've generally been with them on this evolution of going from very full-throw kind of IBM Selectric type keys, like which is probably the high mark for a lot of people. Down to the kind of butterfly chiclets that they put down. Mm-hmm. And it's I think a psychological thing to that some people have that is easier for others to come over, where it takes a little while to get for you to used to a keyboard, but in most cases you can get used to it. But the general trend has been to be lazier, right? The throw is shorter. So it's easier to be lazy if you can get your mind around that. And I think for a lot of people, the throw just became a little too short of an attack speed on the butterflies. But I actually got used to them, and I liked it. I don't like that they failed and jammed and stuff, but the throw got shorter and shorter so you could have a lighter and lighter touch.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually helped me speed up
my typing. I think same. And I've been, for several years now, I've been using the full-sized current Apple keyboard. Is it the Magic Keyboard? What's it called?
The Magic Keyboard.
Magic Keyboard.
Yeah, with the extended keypad.
Yeah, because anyone who doesn't want... Anyway, I'm not an animal, so I need the extended keyboard. I need that number pad. I've been very, very happy with that keyboard.
Agreed.
All right.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
John, what you got?
So I'm going to present my things kind of in bundles, because it seems like a lot of these are either related in the way that they were killed off or in at least the general functional area. So I'm going to start with a big area, which is just hardware. Apple has killed off an amazing amount of hardware in hardware categories. They've killed off printers, displays, scanners, the quick take camera, the eyesight camera, and to me, the one that is the most egregious of sins, the airport routers. So that is just all these things, I think, were successful for Apple, and they could have played them or positioned them as premium. It just wasn't worth their time, is really what it came down to. I don't think that any of these are areas where Apple loses money. Just they don't care enough to pursue. There's other hardware that I'll get to in my list, but those are kind of like a peripheral set of.
All right. Well, let's talk about. I feel like you're cheating by naming so many at one time, but let's talk first about
totally cheating.
Totally cheating. Let's talk about displays first.
Winning.
Great. Let's talk about displays first. It baffles me that when Apple sells a display, that Apple won't sell a display.
Yes.
And I get that when the iMac 5K first came out, that they were having to do some sort of hardware voodoo to make it work. I get that. At this point, there ain't no hardware voodoo necessary. Sell a 5K display. Maybe even go ahead and make it the same display that goes in the iMac 5K.
Yep.
Sell it as a standalone display.
Yes, sir.
So I can have like it side by side with my iMac and have two great 5K displays that are at the same height, that look the same, that match, and have look exactly the same. Not just the physical the casing and everything, but where the displays look exactly the same.
And you could probably get away with powering them with one or two cables at the most. USB-C is all you need for the video data.
Yeah. No. Which wasn't the case. Which wasn't the case when they first killed displays. But it is the case now. And they still make these 5K displays. And they also still make the display that's in the now 24-inch iMac.
Yep.
And so they make displays, but they won't sell displays.
Well, they'll sell you a $5,000 to $7,000 display.
Yeah, but they won't even let me put that into like what was it? Not target. Is it target mode? What's the what's the mode where you used to be able to use a display as a Mac?
That's for the iMac. It's display target mode, I think.
Display target mode. Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Yes, they got rid of that.
Taking that feature away just baffled me.
Yeah.
Display target mode was.
To be fair, I think it's the same reason they couldn't just use a single cable back then when the 5K came out. There was no connectivity that you could do. They had a special custom slap together chips inside that thing to make the display work. But that's no longer the case now.
Yeah, right?
That's no longer the case.
They could
bring display target mode back on the new iMacs, by the way, which would make awesome displays once they've gotten to their end of useful life as a Mac.
Yeah,
Because they're basically all display.
Yeah, and they're great displays at that.
Yep. Right, and then you just plug in your M5 Mac Mini, and away you go.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super frustrating. And I would like to point out that my issue here is not simply that I want to pay more and have the Apple logo on my external display. I really do want it. I want it to be at the same height as my iMac. I want it to be. I find it jarring. I mean, you get used to it, and also first world problems. But I find it a bit jarring to go from one resolution to another on an external displays. And if you can avoid that and you can avoid it elegantly, it makes for a more seamless and in my opinion, productive experience.
It's also kind of a lifestyle company at this point. So it's totally fair for people to say, I just want this stuff to match. There's nothing wrong with that.
John, actually, you're totally right on that. Yeah. If Apple's going to position themselves as a lifestyle company, which they're doing without saying, then it would be nice if they actually embraced that.
Yep.
So I agree with everything you guys said there. For me, AirPort is the biggest sin of that group. And the reason is I disagree with all the lackey press that's just like, oh, okay, that's fine. There's so much you could do with AirPort. It had Back to My Mac integrated into it. It had Time Machine integrated into it. But today you have companies like Synology that have, a creative pulse still somewhere inside that company that apparently Apple has died and rotted with. And there's a lot you could do with that. You could have, Apple could easily provide you with a personal cloud if they believe in privacy, right? All of a sudden, instead of using Drop Cloud, you could use your own AirPort with a hard drive in there to generate a link, and they'll help the routing go on, and you have your own personal Dropbox server system. There's so much creative things that can be done that companies like Synology are doing that Apple just abandoned because they just don't have an interest or they don't have any creative juice left in them, and that would be trusted, and they could do security maneuvers that others can't because of the integration with the operating system. Things like the Back to My Mac that used to be integrated into there.
Yeah, Back to My Mac, I mean, as a feature that Apple killed off Back to My Mac. Again.
I cheated again.
You did cheat again. But as a feature killing off Back to My Mac is just mind-boggling to me because it was fantastic.
Yep.
Just fan-frickin-tastic. But let's talk then. Let's actually go ahead and take the time to dig deeper into Airport, because in addition to the things that you said, I think that Apple was well positioned to take a lead in, or could have spent the resources necessary to be leaders in mesh, and really brought all of that into the Apple ecosystem with, you know, support for HomeKit and support for privacy and support for, again, things like Back to My Mac, assuming that they were still there, support for, dealing with like Time Machine, and just allowed us to have, I mean, like, you know, Apple talks so much about privacy and security. What is more important to your privacy and security than your home network?
Yep.
Seriously. Like what, I mean, like what, that to me is even more important than like the individual security you have on your individual devices. Am I missing anything there?
Not only that, it could have tied in with HomeKit and the security that goes on there. And the features we take for granted now in iCloud, and of course that's, you know, probably three more quarters from it being axed for no good reason, just like a lot of these other products. All those features, like how easy it is to share a file through iCloud, it could have been done personally off your server. And it could have been a tiered backup system where, you have this home system that backs up a lot of things at home, but you could pay X amount for them to back up offsite, and a lot of people would have done that. There's just it's when people say, look at a computer site, there's really nothing more to do to it, and it, to me, that's just an admission of how little creativity you have as a human being or as a organization to look at that and say, I got nothing.
Yeah, to wit,
you should stop the people that say that from being in charge and get rid of them.
The mesh was a significant improvement and step forward that was taking place as Apple. I mean, so that mesh alone in and of itself is a thing that Apple could have done to improve Airport.
Right. And they already had enough hardware knowledge and probably enough development to make a mesh system. I mean, because they had the base station, but we still had Airport Express. So you have the hardware components you need to create a mesh system. Yes, they'd have to do some more stuff with radios and chips, but
and software.
But they had the core right there with Airport and Airport Express,
and they had the money to make that happen.
They did,
and then some.
You know, if Apple had decided to continue with Airport, and they had created the type of device we're talking about, where it's your Apple Home Hub. It handles mesh. It becomes your HomeKit bridge. It hook it up to your family account, and now it manages all of the content that everyone needs to watch and whatever it is you need to store locally.
Yep.
It becomes backup system.
That is a great idea with the new sharing continuity stuff they have. You're right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
a great idea.
Okay, let's throw MDM for mere mortals in this. So now your Airport keeps track of all the devices that everyone in your home has.
You're just killing me, Jeff. You're freaking killing me. You're killing me.
I'm about to drive you into the ground. Ugh. Okay, so now because your HomeKit, Airport knows all the devices, it intelligently knows which updates to download for everyone. So then you can push them out from a single download to all the devices and even tell it, hey, I want you to automatically update all of my devices at this time, or I'm picking individual devices and here's the times that they're going to get updated.
So you've hit me with serious body blows, but I'm going to counter here and do some more damage and remember what we talked about last week, which is now it knows all the people that you're dealing with and all the devices, and it could set up accounts for all of them. on all.
Oh, yeah, sides. It totally could. Yeah, yeah. You could even do it like we're doing, say with an Apple TV. Oh, you have a new iPhone, you have a new Apple Watch, whatever. Yeah. You just go hold your device near your AirPort, and or any of its mesh points, and it says, "Oh yeah, this must be your new Apple Watch. So I'll just take care of moving everything around for you, and then it's done."
Yeah,
again, and we're just three chuckleheads sitting here, you know,
right
in a recording studio.
That's what kills me is
right.
There's got is the dearth of creativity inside, right? Like this is where great ideas and tech go to die. And it, you know, I think you made it kind of implicitly an excellent point, Brian, in the, earlier where you said, look, some of this is understandable, right? Like it's understandable that, you know, Apple DOS 2 for the Apple II or whatever version of Pro DOS or whatever, you know, went away because they had a new product to supplant it. So, okay, yeah, you get when things go away because you're supplanting them with something new and better. But this is just abandonment, right? Like, it's worse when it's just abandonment of an area. And, yeah, it's a company that looks at people screaming, why don't you make a more expensive screen? I'm willing to pay way more than kind of the going rate for this. And they say, okay, our answer is a $7,000 screen. And I hate that the tech press is such cowardly bastards that they don't question anything Apple says. Their baloney excuse is always like, well, we don't feel we need to put in effort in areas where the market is, you know, kind of well serving this. Please, since they abandoned monitors, tell me the monitors that are even remotely close to what people want from the Apple display. It's the two craptacular LG displays that they forced LG to make how many years ago. And what has supplanted them in the market? Nothing. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a baloney excuse when they say, oh yeah, it's well served. The router market is stagnant as hell right now. There's like three people that came out with the Wi-Fi 6E routers, right? No one is doing crap in that market. It's gone static too. So all these assertions are laughable and objectively, you know, countered within seconds. So the real answer to me is it's just the quality of people inside are dead inside and they've lost the spark to want to do that. And that may be fine. People burn out in time, but there should be some process internal to Apple to say, yeah, you know, we got to recognize this and then put people that aren't burned the hell out to see if some more creative stuff can happen here.
I'm wondering if there's...
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm wondering if there's something else going along with that, John, which is feeding the burnout and the lack of interest in creating new revolutionary things, which is, has Apple pivoted from, here's a really cool idea, you people go run with it and let's see what happens, and maybe it'll be a thing, maybe it'll get rolled into something else, or maybe it'll get killed, but let's see what it is. Has that transitioned to, oh, that's a really interesting idea, let's put it in the spreadsheet and see what numbers we get. And if they don't like what they see in a spreadsheet before they even begin, then they're just like, no, we're not going
to
do that.
I don't think so, we have enough information to back up John's assertion or that idea. We don't actually know what is happening inside Apple from this standpoint.
That's true, but we've never let that stop us.
That's not true. I do know it. I have enough friends that are either still there or left to tell me that there was one dude with a red stapler running iTunes for about 6 years. That happened. That happened. So now, is it company wide? Is it the reason for all these devices I'm talking about? That I can't assert. But that there rots like that inside of Apple, yes, I do know that for a fact. And I think Jeff made a good point, and I think your cautionary couching, Brian, is well put. And of course, you know, these are anecdotal. So I know them kind of firsthand from the people that work there, but ultimately they're anecdotal. But the spreadsheet question is also interesting in that I think Apple used to have more, taste isn't the right word, more discerning palate, in they realize that there are things that aren't necessarily big profit makers, but they're quality of life things that are important for the person and for the ecosystem. So, you know, they were unfortunately bludgeoned, and I think they still probably messed up the Pro market, right? It doesn't matter that the Mac Pro wasn't a big money maker for Apple. It's part of the environment, and it's necessary for people to feel good about the environment, even if it's a low touch product. And things like a display, I would say, are part of that. I don't care that Apple doesn't make that much money on it. It's part of what I view as necessary for the environment to be a cool and comfortable environment. And they used to be, I think, more deft at realizing, yeah, some of these products aren't huge money makers in and of themselves. So so it may be exactly what you say, Jeff. I think that's a great point where you hear this marketing droning of, you know, we need it to, you know, it doesn't make a dent, right, on the bottom line. And because Apple is only listening for products that make big dents, and that's a bigger and bigger thing every time, they may turn a deaf ear to these kind of quality of life products that are still important. And that mentality may be part of it. I think that's actually an excellent point.
Well, I'd like to point out that when Apple had the supreme taste master of all time, products were still subject to being killed. I mean, like in reality, products were only given a time and attention when that supreme taste master, and I'm talking about Steve Jobs, was interested in them. As soon as he lost that interest, Apple routinely abandoned or let languish products. So it's a different problem. It's a different manifestation of this issue today, but I think that this has been an issue certainly since Steve came back, and probably actually for all time.
Yeah, he was maybe the most brutal killer of product areas ever.
And, but it wasn't just killing you; like some products would languish.
I think it was a mixed bag on the languishing side, but I think it's accurate to say that yeah, definitely some products under him languished as well. However, I think he was also really good that when he was wrong in a direction, he quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I don't see going on here. That's the difference. It took them how many years to realize they were wrong on the Mac Pro? 6 years. That's insane. That would not have happened. You know, just wouldn't have.
Well, that wouldn't have happened with Steve, but other issues.
But the hockey puck mouse did.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, it did. And that went on for years.
And so did displays. Apple got out of the display business under Steve.
Was that? I don't know if that's the case. The Thunderbolt display was still around when he passed 2011.
If you can hear by my tapping, I'm trying to check. Oops, I lied. Yeah, John is correct. I was wrong. It's 2016, so long after he had passed.
So. But it's a fair point. It was a mixed bag with Steve, but he was deft enough to, when he messed up and said, you know what, that was wrong, to you know, shuffle back. So all good points.
All right. Let me take seems like a fantastic breakpoint to talk about HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients, mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. I love this stuff. I'm going to tell you about some meals that I cooked. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips with less prep, less effort, and minimal cleanup. So you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes. You can choose from 50 menu items and market items every week, from vegetarian meals to craft burgers and extra special gourmet options that are all available. There's something for everyone to enjoy, with all recipes designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. And I really like this. HelloFresh's produce gets from the farm to your door in less than a week. That means fresh, high-quality ingredients. I prepared three meals, two meals each, and they were delicious. They were easy to do. The directions were clear, concise. There's pictures if you need them, but in the oral or the written instructions, it's all super easy to follow. They were super easy to cook, and they were delicious. I loved it. I can't wait to order some more, and I strongly, strongly mean that. So here's the thing. Because you listen to ACM, you can go to HelloFresh.com/ACM14 and use code ACM14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/ACM14 and use code ACM14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. There's going to be a link in the show notes for your convenience along with the coupon code. So look it up there if you need to. America's number one meal kit. I love this stuff. This is great. I appreciate them sponsoring. I strongly encourage our listeners, my listeners, to check out HelloFresh and get your offer. And again, I want to thank HelloFresh for sponsoring this episode. Let's actually take a second. I'm thinking that I may have an unexpected argument here. And to me, in hindsight, I don't have a problem with Apple having gotten out of the printer business. And my biggest piece of evidence of that is so has everyone else. No one is in the printer business anymore. Everyone is in the ink delivery business.
I do think the difference there is it is a actual true statement to say that the market has well taken care of that. There is a wide diversity of printers that people have to choose from that, you know, didn't exist when Apple made the first LaserWriter. True statement.
You're correct, although part of your terminology is wrong. Instead of saying there's a wide range of printers, there's a wide range of ink consumption devices. Because Brian, like you said or alluded to, the printer market, these are now commodities. That these are like disposable razors, where it's in the consumables where the money is made. And for inkjet printers, especially, well, that's not a place where Apple needed to be. So in that sense, yeah, getting out of that space totally makes sense. The one that just kills me, though, and which brings up one of the things that is on my list, the LaserWriter Pro line, especially the 630. Apple had really good laser printers, and losing that just sucks. But then again, there are a lot of quality laser printers out on the market. Now, am I correct in remembering that for the inkjet printers, Canon actually made those for Apple, and they did not do their own printers?
They didn't manufacture their own printers, but I thought that they were developing them, or at least working with Canon.
Even the original LaserWriter was a Canon product, and as was the next printer. It was the Canon engine that they used for that. So they I think you're right. Much like they do today, right? They get panels for displays from Samsung and whatnot. They use what's existing out there or help their suppliers develop things that they could use without necessarily having to, you know, manufacture the whole ball of wax in house.
So I would lump scanners in with this too. And again, like everyone has pretty much gotten out of the scanner business too. I mean, you know, our phones make pretty good scanners unless you're doing high volume stuff. And I know, John, you have some very specific needs for a scanner.
But there are great choices. I mean, there's a great diversity of scanners out there, except for one area, which is a weird and dying area, so no one needs to be in it.
Well, but for consumers, they can spend, what, $70 on an inkjet printer that has a flatbed scanner built in.
Yeah, crazy. I don't even understand the marvel of manufacturing that it's just, it just seems just the sheer size of the box.
Well, and but you know, the flip side is they're pieces of crap that fall apart.
Yeah, but you can get good, like there's, I've gotten good color laser printers. There's a nice variety of those still made. It's becoming less and less of a need too, because people just send, you know, giant files around, and so you print a bit less than we used to.
I'm actually in the need. Maybe later you can give me a laser printer recommendation. I'm in the market.
Sure.
All right. Sweet. All right, Jeff. Since John cheated, we are finally back to you.
Okay. How about the Pismo PowerBook?
What?
Losing the Pismo PowerBook was awful.
Did you expect them to make it forever?
Yeah. What are you talking about, man?
What's that?
What are you talking about? I mean, it got replaced by something. It didn't just disappear.
Titanium. It didn't just disappear.
Okay. Since John is cheating, so am I. But my cheating is, this is a product that I lament the loss of because of what it gave us and what was taken away when we got the next PowerBook, which was the Titanium PowerBook G3.
And are you talking about replaceable components?
It was a G4, by the way.
Or G4, yeah. That thing was amazing. The two expansion bays on it, plus it was easy to pop the case open and put in a new hard drive if you wanted. The keyboard popped off and you could put new RAM in. Granted, the keyboard wasn't the best on that thing, but that device was so versatile. It had so many ports on it at a time when we really needed to have this wide range of ports because we're going through that big transition of ADB to USB and that was at the beginning of FireWire and the end of SCSI. That was just an amazing machine, wonderfully upgradable. And then when we went to Titanium, that's when we started really giving up all of that expandability in Apple laptops.
It came back in the 17-inch models. Those, I still have a 2011 model that still had a PCM CIA card.
You know, and that 17-inch model was amazing.
Listen, that windmill is going to come down. You just keep tilting.
I wasn't advocating. I'm just pointing out. But I agree. The Pismo is a very beloved. It's kind of like what's his name? Snow Leopard is kind of a universally lauded by old timers version of the OS because it was, you know, it became very decently stable. Although people forget when it first came out, it had a lot of problems too. I think the Pismo is kind of that version in hardware. A lot of people that got to use it. It's a very beloved machine. I love mine too. So I feel you.
All right.
Yeah. I still miss mine.
I'm still, yeah, you're cheating. All right. So, I would, what I really wanted to do, and I promised Kelly I would do this. I was actually going to do some research and find the most frivolous Apple Watch strap that has been taken off the market, so that I could just to be able to watch John's head explode. But I didn't do my homework.
I see. Well, the mere mention of the topic was enough to delight me.
How about that original Milanese Loop band?
I've got the Milanese Loop.
Still available? Yeah, it's still available.
Oh, it's still available?
Yeah.
Well, that shows you how interested I am in
straps.
The straps. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
By the way, while we were recording, Dusty Hill, bass player for ZZ Top, died.
Oh no. Man.
That's not. Rest in peace, Mr. Hill. Thanks for thanks for some music.
Thanks for the tunes.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Let's see here. I think theoretically I am supposed to name something. However, the two things that I really came armed with, which was airport and displays, are both in your or already on both of your lists. And of course, John cheated. So I think you still have some more, John.
Yeah, and we kind of already mentioned Back to My Mac, so we're done with that. Okay, I'm going. Rather than doing a few other bundles, let's start with kind of. Well, I lied. I'm going to do another bundle. I think you guys will say I cheated, but I don't care.
Yeah. Well, why should we start following the rules now? Right. I mean, I'm not going to.
Exactly. Aperture, iPhoto, iDVD, DVD Studio, Mobile Me.Mac, iWeb, and Newsstand. It's all products kind of the same era. Aperture being the big one, I think, there. Just was great, went away. People wanted them to keep investing in, and they just said, you know what? Nope.
Yeah, you touched on my big problem with killing Aperture is that it was so good.
And beloved.
Yes.
Yeah.
And wanted.
And it's still like, I mean.
It solved what Photo still has not solved, which is the multi-library problem. You could have multi-library and segments of libraries and all kinds of different storage areas. It was wonderful. Wonderful.
It was truly, truly wonderful.
How could they not have that in Photos by now? I mean, it's not like they don't know how to do it.
The guy that makes Photos, as far as I'm concerned, it's probably four guys with a red stapler at this point, right? Like, there's no will to live. There's no spark in that product, right? I don't remember in kind of the heyday of when iLife came out and iWork came out, and like every revision was a major to do. It was so major that, you know, Steve would mention it during a keynote. It's like, hey, look what we added. Like, there was that spark of, oh, we could do such cool things with this. There's none of that. This is like bug fix and one more, you know, filter added kind of.
I remember now that you've brought this up, I remember going and checking out the local computer stores when iLife was coming out and iWork. There were people lining up to buy their CDs, their installer CDs, on launch day for iWork.
Yep. All that will to live and create and design seems dead at Apple software. Outside of the core OS teams.
I would hazard that rather than four people running around with red staplers, there's zero people running around with red staplers, and that someone
you're more pessimistic than me.
That someone occasionally gets tasked with, oh yeah, can you go update that for the next OS?
You'd be sadly right.
and that there is no there's no one with a, like, you know, carrying that torch. Yeah, for Photos in particular. But yeah, Aperture. I'm bummed about Aperture. But then you've got other, like, iTools and .Mac. I mean, I know we do have iCloud today, and iCloud does have both a lot of those features and in some cases some new features. But the way Apple would just sort of like launch those and then dump them because Steve lost interest, that was always very frustrating to me.
So it was. In that spectrum, with when it was so I do agree with you. From iTools to .Mac to Mobile Me to iCloud, in some sense you're like, well, it was a progression more than an abandonment. But the important parts of those systems that went away, I'm going to bring in and cheat more, was Mac OS Server. Because right around the, I think it was the 10.4 release, they had in Mac OS Server, in conjunction, and it still exists to some degree, even in iCloud, with the Mobile Me tech, they had that idea that we talked about last week, which is you could have your account. It was a mobile account, basically stored on your version of Mac OS Server running, like on your Mac Mini or something like that. Log into any Mac, and it would download your account, right? And that mm-hmm. played in with a lot of Mobile Me syncing. And you'll still see that. Like, if you have a signature in your mail app, you'll notice it comes up on your iPhone. That data syncs. They're still using that. There was preferences that would sync from one machine to another as you changed your Apple preferences. And that little vestige of mail signatures is still part of that. And they had this really kind of awesome view that they were building up version after version. It was there, you know, it was probably mostly there in 10.5 up to 10.6, and it started around 10.4. And all that got gutted. All of those really grandiose plans inside of the movement from iTools to the .Mac to MobileMe to iCloud just got gutted and all went away, and we got kind of like nothing from what was going on there. And the reason I mentioned macOS Server is technically it's still a product, but basically it's been, you know, gutted to the point
where it is functionally dead. Where do you get OS X Server?
I thought it was, oh, maybe it's completely gutted now.
I think it's long gone.
I thought there was
still, I'm pretty sure it's just gone.
Okay, so then I stand corrected.
So how about XSERV?
Yep, that's one on my list. Throw an XSERV RAID with it.
Yeah.
X-RAID and XSERV.
It's so interesting to me that, you know, Apple has never had such a corporate presence. And yet never have their corporate offerings been slimmer.
So what is more amazing is the sheer audacity of their history with IT and kind of enterprise. And Apple just recently, I saw on Mac Observer, I forget who posted it, they had this like why Mac means business ad. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are they hoping that like everyone that watched Apple as a slow moving disaster in the enterprise world has just magically died off or gotten amnesia? There's no more unreliable company for that kind of thing.
You always talk about Lucy and the ball,
yeah,
and Charlie Brown.
You just read my mind.
And it seems to me that IT in particular has been the poster child of the Lucy Charlie Brown football meme.
Yeah, and how is no one mocking this other than me right now? That they've just put out an ad saying we're so awesome for enterprise. The Mac is so great. When they are maybe the most antagonistic company ever to exist with regard to enterprise. They literally should call their enterprise branch Lucy.
Well, now they at least they should call Lucy. I love that. But they do have at least, you know, IBM has sort of like, you know, taken the ball, photocopied the ball, and is running with this photocopy of the ball for Apple. IBM's doing a lot to support Apple in the enterprise space.
Yeah, but it's all tech
which is good.
Tomorrow randomly disappear.
Yeah, it could, right?
Yeah, well, and there's another problem for the enterprise space, which is they're doing purchase decisions based on the roadmaps, the hardware roadmaps, that vendors lay out. Apple doesn't give them that roadmap, so it makes it really hard to plan Apple purchases or Apple product purchases when you're in a corporate or enterprise IT department.
Well, that might be the biggest reason Apple got out of it. I mean, Steve wasn't about to hand over the roadmap keys to the crown. I'm going to sort of mix some metaphors there. But, you know, like that was in the Microsoft world in particular, in the Wintel world, IT VPs basically were able to measure their private parts by how much access they got to, you know, pre-announcement information in terms of the roadmap. And that was true with, at least this is my understanding, and that was true with Intel, it was true with Microsoft, it was true with other hardware makers, where, you know, everyone was basically, you know, your ability to access that information was one of the things that would basically be able to get you money as an IT VP. And Apple never wanted to play that game. And maybe Apple just found out that and decided that, you know, it's just not worth it to us to play that game with anybody. And if it's going to be a problem, screw it. Let's just go focus on other things.
Totally possible. And the case, okay, well, at least they cut and ran. Although the problem is they keep running back.
Yeah, they just released a video saying how awesome they are at Enterprise. It's just, it's unbelievable. It's so insulting. I can't believe that no one has the guts to just rant about this, but whatever. Are we ready for another one?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go another Troika, kind of all related with the time. Front Row, Apple Hi-Fi, and the iPod.
It's funny that you're going very general, because I'm going very specific. I specifically had the third gen iPod and the third gen iPod Nano on my list.
Those were good. I know the ones you mean. Surprisingly, that was it, like the fifth gen Nano with no buttons that was voice actuated, or was that the, what they call that one?
Was it the fifth? It might have been like the sixth.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But that, yes, it was awful. One of the later Nanos. Yeah.
I think Apple simply saw that the iPhone was going to utterly trounce the iPod. I mean, are you lamenting that the iPod went away? Would you be carrying an iPod today if you could?
I can. I have a box of iPods closet.
In the closet. But if you could buy a new iPod, would you go out and buy a new iPod and carry that, like, you know, maybe like connected to the back of your phone or something? But like, no. Why are either of you lamenting the lack of the iPod?
The iPod, it served a really good focused purpose, which was to give you your entertainment content without really having to deal with anything else. So to this day, like if I go out for a long walk or a run and I want to listen to some music, I can do that with my iPhone. But I would still much rather do that with a smaller, lighter weight, longer battery life iPod, like a Nano, something that I can throw in a pocket, put in an armband, whatever, and it's not going to take up any extra space. Now, of course, I know I can do that with my Apple Watch.
Okay, great. I'm glad to see that you realize how ridiculous you are.
But now that means my Apple Watch that I have to charge every single day anyhow, I'm going to get back from my run or my walk or my hike and have to put it on a charger because it probably died before I got back home. Not a problem with an iPod. I still like the elegance of the focused use device instead of giving me the Swiss Army knife. And at the same time, I totally get that I'm being complicated here because I love that I can do so much with my iPhone.
Can I offer my dramatic interpretation of what you just said?
I'm sitting and I know exactly what it's going to be. So go ahead, deliver. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't your interpretation the point of this entire episode?
We're all doing some of that for sure.
Bam! That was excellent.
That is a very fair point. And so you mentioned the hi-fi, John, and I thought that thing sounded like garbage. I did not like the hi-fi.
So, I might as well add while I'm on it, the HomePod.
Yes, that mystifies me.
So, to me, the Hi-Fi was a started and stalled version of what the HomePod became, which apparently, despite it being pretty damn good, still was killed off. So the quality of it had nothing to do, apparently, with its death. I don't lament that the iPod's gone. I do point out that Sony still sells MP3 players and others, and it could still be a successful segment if anyone cared, but it's just, I guess, too much of a round-off error for Apple. So I'm not lamenting it. I understand it. Front Row, on the other hand, was great for your Mac. I think it's better than Apple TV still in many ways. And so that was a beloved vector on the Mac that just went away. But yeah, the big of now those four items is the HomePod. Everyone was expecting and I think hoping that Apple would come out with, you know, HomePod 2 that you know, sounded even better and maybe was a bit cheaper because it's a great product. The HomePod Mini is nice. I have none of them. I don't care to have them. I really like, I'm glad I ended up, I have four HomePods. I'm glad I bought that many. I really enjoy them as little kind of mini speakers and, you know, Siri assistants and whatnot. They're great.
I predict that used HomePods are going to end up going for a premium within 2 years.
This is one that I mentioned real quick, but EyeSight cameras. Do you know that EyeSight cameras, if you can still find one new, go for $600 on eBay?
The aluminum tubes?
Holy crap.
The FireWire versions, yes.
The FireWire versions. Wow. Yes,
exactly.
I wonder if I still have mine tucked away somewhere. I loved that camera.
Yeah, I have four of them.
Yeah, it was.
In a drawer somewhere.
They were pretty cool. And I have thought about buying extra HomePods to have as backup for, you know, when and if my HomePods stop burning out. That may be ridiculous. You know what I would like to see? I'm going to check with them. I'd love to see Audio Engine add Siri support to their products.
Apple has not allowed that for anyone, and it's a shame. Because
But they said they're going to allow it now.
Oh, are they? They're going to have
support. Yeah.
Well, then that will change. So, okay, that actually changes things. So if that becomes wide, and or at least some percentage of widely available as, you know, the Alexa products, that will make
We got that at WWDC, right, Jeff?
I think you're right.
Yes. But you have to have don't you have to have a HomePod Mini to be a bridge for other devices that will have Siri support? Remembering that correctly?
If we had an airport, that could also be a bridge device. How's that?
Yeah.
By the way,
I know. Wouldn't that just be amazing?
That would be. Yeah.
Again, you need to have two brain synapses and a will to live to actually think of that as another feature that you could have in a router. But yeah, you know, no one at Apple does.
Okay, we are. If you're done with the ad hominem attacks, John, I'm sorry, no. That was so ridiculous.
what kind of statement is that?
why would I? Anyway, we are running out of time. Is there anything that you need to mention that for 5 seconds?
Yes.
Okay, go.
Macintosh TV, Newton, Apple Works, Claris, all the Claris software, Mac Paint, Mac Write, all that. The Cube, the Lisa, Apple Link, and eWorld, which was very innovative in its time. Web Objects, iWeb, Newsstand, CyberDog, OpenDoc, HyperCard, many Apple proprietary standards like ADB. I'll stop there.
Most of those, I don't have a problem with them going away.
I have a problem with Claris software going away.
Yeah,
I have a problem with the Claris software going away. Yep. That just hurt. Since you threw the Newton in there, the specific Newton I had on the list was the eMate, because I thought that was just a brilliant concept, and it's unfortunate it didn't take off. Also, the Apple II GS, when it came out, more powerful than any Mac you could buy, and much more versatile.
Yep, true. I understand why they put all the wood behind the one arrow that is the Mac.
Of course.
But I totally get that. Yeah, that was a really interesting different vector. And it's amazing how much they were able to get to run on that GS. GS was well utilized with the GS operating system for the time.
Oh, yes.
All right. So, first of all, listen, let me do this. And then let me also point out that that is this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to add, comment on, or question, you can write me at MacObserver. No, it is ACM at MacObserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CacheFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And I want to thank HelloFresh for sponsoring this particular episode. And if you remember, you can go to HelloFresh.com/ACM14 and use code ACM14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. It's HelloFresh.com/ACM14. Make sure to use code ACM14 to get up to 14 free meals. Jeff and John, thank you both for joining me this week.
As always, absolute blast.
And then hopefully we'll do our part four in the near future. I guess both of you have a fantastic day.
You too, man.
All right, you too.
Thanks.